Okay, prayer. So bear with me, because we'll see what happens here. I've got a number of paperwork here, so hopefully I'll be okay. All right. First thing, our topic is prayer. Let's see if I get this right. Okay, prayer defined. Okay. Prayer is to ask very earnestly or make a supplication to a deity. Prayer, that's pray. And prayer is an earnest request or entreaty or supplication, a humble and sincere request to a God, that's with a big G, that's the one we recognize, or to a God, all the other gods in other religions, okay? So that is prayer. So what does that tell you? That tells you that we have prayed to the one true prayer to the one true God. We also have prayer to what? A false God. Basically, it's a false God. If there's one true God, the other prayer is to a deity, but it's not a recognized, it's not God, okay? All right, what I'd like to go is, I think this is an excellent description or defined by John Bunyan in a discourse touching prayer. His definition is, prayer is sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of our heart or soul to God. Through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised, or according to his word, for the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. So you see several things here. Let me see if I can get this, okay? So it's sincere and sensible, okay? And it's pouring out our heart to what? God, okay? Through Jesus Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. So we're praying to God through Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully I can elaborate on that as we go through, bearing time, okay? For such things, so what do we pray for? For what God has promised according to his word, that means the scripture. So if you don't know the scripture, it's going to be hard to pray according to God's word. So it's important that you're included, that you understand and you study or you at least read scripture. For what? What are we studying for? For the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God, okay? And this church right here, this is, we call this the capital C church, you know what I mean? That's all people, all believers, and it could be even small. We typically, Dan uses a lot here, small is Northside Bible Church. We're part of the big church of Christianity. So this is the goal. I like this definition. It's very thorough. I probably could have talked the whole time on here, and I might have to revert back to this when I have to cut things a little bit short. Okay, so what do we need to know, okay? Know before your prayer, number one, that God cares for you, okay? God cares for us. So 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him, which is God, for he cares for you. I know, and you'll hear me refer back to when I was sick, which is, believe it or not, was over 5 years ago. It's hard to believe that, but when I was sick, and this was a monumental event in my life, it was a good 5 months, four major surgeries, and I had to work on casting my anxiety on the Lord, and it is challenging, folks. Psalm 52, 8 tells us, I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever, okay? So this is a loving kindness of God. That is a loving God, somebody who cares for us. Next thing you know, that God hears your prayers, okay? I will tell you that God doesn't always answer the prayer that you want to, that you want or you ask. He answers it in his way for our best interest. We look specifically at Psalm 102:17 says, he, that is God, has regarded the prayers of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. So God hears our prayer. God hears those who are seeking him. We'll see an example a little later in the lesson today. We see in Isaiah 31:19b says, he surely will be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. I found that there were times that God didn't necessarily get me out of what I wanted, but he did answer me. Typically was with some sort of comfort, some sort of understanding that why I was there. One of the things in my illness that I had to take some tests to see if my system was flowing correctly was this terrible stuff that you had to drink, and you had to drink it to the max. And then you had to hold it. And then you had to go down to the radiology department, and they had to take pictures of it. And let me tell you what, the stuff tasted terrible, and much less holding it down was another chore. And just about every time I could get done with the thing, I had to go get rid of it, okay? And we'll use that for public speaking. I had to get rid of it, okay? It was terrible. And I did that at least 2 or 3 times a week. Because they were trying to see if there was any progress being made. And oh, by the way, there wasn't. So, God hears your prayer. He was only able to provide me with comfort. It was interesting. Some of the comfort came from the people that worked there. You know what I'm saying? The people in the hospital. Came from the nurse's assistants. Came from the people that were sending cards or coming in and visiting you. That's where the comfort, God said the comfort there. He does hear our prayer, okay? We can pray with confidence. Hebrews 4, I'll start with 15, says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." 16 says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So God's providing the help when you need it. Believe me, I'd just like the help to be done, the problem to be over with, and I can move on. But typically, God has just given me enough strength to manage through that one event and then move to the next one, okay? And I had to count on that, okay? So I could take those prayers in confidence to the Lord. In Ephesians 3, 11 and 12, I'm reading a lot of this right here. You can, should be in your handout, an abbreviated version. Ephesians 3, 11 and 12, it says that this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He, God, carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him, okay? And what this is in the Ephesians part of it is, verse 6 says that the Gentiles were the fellow heirs, okay, and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ. That's sometimes what they call the mystery, okay? The mystery is that basically the Gentiles were going to get the benefit of Jesus Christ, of His death also. It wasn't just explicitly to the Jews. So we know that we can pray in confidence to God. Next. Let's see if I get the right. Oh, this one, okay. All right. Why should we pray? Okay. For me, prayer was comfort. A lot of times prayer was comfort. And it gave me an outlet to express my anxieties, express my fear and my concerns. My wife got tired of hearing me say, "Whoa, I'd like to pray." That time she was working, I remember she was telling one of the coaches at school, and he said, "Well, have him call me on the phone. I'll pray with him." I talked to a lady one time that she was really sick, and I said to her, "Would you like to pray?" You know what she says to me? "On the phone? On the phone? We can pray on the..." Yeah, why can't you pray on the phone? God's provided that technology. We can use the technology to pray. You know, and you could pray anywhere. God can hear you. You know what I'm saying? God understands, and it provides comfort. Okay, so it's important. Okay, we see in Colossians 4:2-4, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." I think it's important for us to appreciate the opportunity that we have to speak to God. Praying at the same time for us as well, and this was for Paul, that God would open a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been imprisoned, that we may make it clear in the way we ought to speak. So that was, Paul was praying that we need to devote ourselves to prayer, and that's day-to-day lives, but also for the salvation or the gospel message for us to be able to take that to other people or for other people to be able to hear it. I would like for other people to hear it from somebody else than versus me. But sometimes you're the individual that God's going to use to give somebody else the gospel message. You should be prepared for it in the best way that you know how. And if you don't think you're good enough, just pray to God before and at least plant the seed. At least plant the seed, okay? So it's important to us. 1 Timothy 2:1-12 says, first of all, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving, again, that key word, be made on behalf of all men. And in this case, and then it goes on to say, we need to pray for all in authority. That isn't just our government officials. That's our employers. That's anybody that has authority over us, whether it's the federal government, the local government, your municipalities. We have a responsibility to pray for them. Also in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, therefore, I want men of every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath or dissension. Okay, let me see what yours, what your note says real quick. Okay, it says, therefore, I want want men in every place to pray. But the scripture goes on to say, without wrath or dissension. And my preparation provided me with, that's prayer in the church, okay? You need to have prayer in the church. But when you have wrath and dissension amongst the church, that prayer can be ineffective. You need to be praying in unity. You need to not have dissension in the church. You need to have everybody, as we say today, on the same page, okay? Okay, prayer draws us close to God. Okay, Romans 2:12, and of course we should all know this one. It says basically, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We know that we need to transform our mind. The only way I know you're going to transform your mind today is through God's Word. God's Word is going to provide that transforming. James 5:16 says that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. How do you have effective prayer? How would you start with effective prayer? We need to consider that. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully I'll provide you a little bit more information on the what not to's and the how to pray. Prayer is powerful, okay? We know that God hears our prayers, okay? We know that particularly for believers, because we've trusted in Jesus Christ, that He hears our prayers. The verse that we use today, okay, which is, and I asked you to concentrate on, 1 John 3:21-22, it says, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, in other words, if we don't have something internal that's conflicting with us or with God, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him. That's great, but then it goes on to, make sure I wasn't bumping too long. Okay. It goes on to say, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We need to consider when we're praying, are we keeping God's commandments? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we being obedient to God? Are we being obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Are we doing the will of God? Prayer is powerful. Okay, that's our... Next item is, why should we pray continued? Prayer protects us. This one is, wait a minute, folks, let me see. Okay, prayer protects us, okay? Okay, we see examples in John 17:15. This is Jesus. It's Jesus' prayer for His disciples. Pay attention to this. It says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep him from the evil one. So when things are going bad and they're not doing well, you need to ask God for your help, not necessarily that you're going to get away from it. It's interesting that Jesus didn't ask, okay? He's saying, I'm not asking that you take them out. He's asking for their protection. I'm thankful that he didn't take them out of the world, because how would we have the scripture? How would we have Christianity today? We look at John 17, 20, and it says, and I like this one. This is, I believe this is the portion for us today as believers, that this is Jesus' prayer for the believers. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, meaning his disciples. He's not just asking for them. He says, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Okay, so that's all believers from the biblical days to today. God's asking, Jesus is asking for us, our strength here, okay, that he's asking for us in prayer. The next one you have is Matthew 6:13. This is known as the Lord's Prayer, okay? And it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. One of the concerns that I have, and we'll speak a little bit more about the Lord's Prayer, is many times that becomes routine. It'll become a routine prayer. We're not really thinking about what we're saying. We're just talking. We're just repeating. A rote prayer, and we're not really concentrating on it. I think it's important. We'll see in this next section on how not to pray. I'll elaborate a little bit more on that. We need... Okay, prayer brings peace, okay? This is one of the biggest comforts I believe I get out of prayer, is peace. I feel like that there's, I like to get things done. I like to accomplish things. I get to a point where sometimes you can't accomplish it, or you can only take it so far, and I have to turn it over to the Lord. You'll find out as we age, there are more things that we can't do. There are more things that we don't control. There are more things that we used to control that we don't control. And you're going to have to turn it over to the Lord. I started playing softball about a year and a half ago, and one of the drawbacks of that is you start getting the injuries that are associated with the sport. And one of the skills that I have is the ability to run very quick, especially for people over 65 years old. It's amazing how God has allowed me, with all the difficulties that I've had, that I can still even run. But people will tell me, man, you're fast. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said to him, I said, you know, I'm a little concerned. When that speed runs out, I don't really hit well. You know what I mean? I don't throw well. You know what I'm saying? I can still run and catch the ball, but that's it. So now what, am I going to crawl and catch the ball? He says, oh, don't worry about it. He says, you'll find another skill to improve on. You know what? That's for us Christians too. You didn't used to be able to do? Find another skill to improve on. Maybe you can pray for somebody. Maybe you can pray for the person that's working. Maybe you need to pray for some help, somebody to help you. Maybe you need to pray for patience. You know what I'm saying, for things that you weren't patient for before. So look for the other skill set that God can provide you with, that'll provide you with some sort of peace and comfort. A couple of the bringing peace was, of course, one of my favorites is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. For the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just saying that, because I said that so many times when I was sick, just saying that allowed me to have comfort. Just saying that. One of the other ones that you don't have that I wrote down was a big one for me, was Isaiah 41:10. Particularly in times of uncertainty, and folks, we're in times of uncertainty right now. Financial markets are diving. There's major concern over medical issues, particularly the coronavirus, and all the implications associated with that. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. That's God says. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right arm. One of the things that I remember with this verse, and for anybody that's had surgery, I was having surgery at Tampa General, large hospital, and we were in the prep room for the emergency room. And I'm not exaggerating. They were prepping 15 to 20 people at a time. You all had a little cubbyhole that was just about as wide as the gurney. You know what I'm saying? Mine was a little wider because they had the supplies over here, so you had that much more traffic coming and going for that. But when you look out and you see all these people that are being prepared for surgery, and you have no idea what they're being prepared for surgery for, but you know your own, your anxiety level starts to go up as you're looking around you. And then, oh, by the way, when you get in the operating room, and what do you see? Bright lights, you know, just, you know what I mean? Anxiety level. I just kept repeating that back to myself and looking for God for comfort, knowing that God would provide the comfort. He didn't get me out of the surgery, you know what I'm saying? Didn't get me out of the prep, you know what I'm saying? Didn't get me out of the healing. And as Joanne said this morning, somebody says to Joanne, how are you feeling? I'm hurting. You know what I mean? Didn't get me out of that either, you know what I'm saying? But he did provide me with comfort associated with that. So I like the peace part of it. Okay. The next item we're going to discuss is how not to pray, okay? How not to pray, okay? Several items, how not to pray, okay? Prayers that are to compliment ourselves, okay? What does that mean? Let's see, in Luke, man, I didn't get the picture on this one. Is there a picture on this one? There he is, okay. Okay, well, we'll use him. We're using him also in Luke because it looks like this guy, the back guy's the tax collector. Here's there's the Pharisee and there's the tax collector. Okay, so the prayer to compliment ourselves. So what takes place here is we see they're in the synagogue. Okay, and they're praying. And this the Pharisee is complimenting himself. Look at all me. Look at all that I've done. And back here's the tax collector, and he's very humble before the Lord. And the scripture says it's the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Jesus says, now Jesus is telling this parable. He says, I tell you, this man, okay, this man, which is the tax collector. There we go. This guy, wrong button. This guy, the tax collector, okay? The tax collector went to his house justified rather than the other, okay? The other is, of course, the Pharisee, okay? Not that there's any problem with the Pharisee. It's the attitude, folks. It could have been completely reversed, you know what I'm saying? And the Pharisee could have been the humble one and the tax collector bragging about all his wealth and everything else that he has. But in this case, it's the tax collector that it goes home. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay? So it's interesting that we need to not do prayer to compliment ourselves. Okay? And that's Luke 18. Prayers that are prayed all the while ignoring God's instructions. That's almost a self-explaining. Okay? If you're ignoring God's instructions and then you're asking for God to bless you in the process, you know, I cheated on my taxes and, oh, by the way, don't let me get caught, or whatever you're doing, you're ignoring God's instructions. Don't expect to get a benefit out of there. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Okay? The Lord will not hear. And Proverbs 28:9 says, he who turns away his ear from listening to the law, that was which was the law of Moses, okay, which still the commandments apply, even his prayer is an abomination. Okay, it's an abomination. I listened to a thing recently on Ann Graham Lotz regarding prayer, and she said that, you know, even if you're at fault, you need to pray to God for something. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you're the cause of your own hardship, you need to pray to God and ask God for guidance and wisdom, okay? You need not to dismiss it. So it's important that we don't pray, okay, when we're ignoring God's instructions, okay? Prayers that are for selfish reasons, okay? Prayers that are for selfish reasons, okay? God knows all our desires. There's no secrets to God. We can't excuse away what we're doing in order to make it look like that we're doing it for the Lord, when in reality we want a personal gain out of that. It doesn't work. God isn't fooled, okay? James 4, and do me a favor, let's turn to James, because I think this is the first time you've probably cracked our Bible here today. Not that I haven't given you scripture, but let's turn to James 4, if I can find that. James 4, and we're going to look specifically at verses 2 and 3. James 4. Boy, I miss the teaching when I can ask somebody else to read and I can get a break here, okay? James 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, let's start at 1. What are the source of quarrels and of conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we'll stop there. Okay, so what's that? That prayer is for our selfish reasons. We want it just for ourselves. Now, I don't think God shorts us from enjoying things. I had a job that I enjoyed, and I don't think God shorted me that. You know what I'm saying? Most of the people I knew didn't enjoy their jobs. I really enjoyed my job, and I think that's a blessing that God gives us to enjoy the work that we do. Sometimes I'd tell people, if you don't like what you do, maybe you need to look for something else. You know what I mean? You spend a lot of time working. But I think we need to enjoy it. So I don't think everything we have to do has to be drudgery. I think we have an opportunity to enjoy it. But we should not pray for selfish reasons. I've got to move along here, folks. Okay? Next item. Prayers that are long and loud and get attention and admiration from others, okay? Now, I don't know if this is what was taking place in here. This is the picture we looked at before. But you see, you know, if we're doing that for the admiration of others, Scripture tells us that basically that's going to be our reward, okay? Okay, and get attention. Okay, yours says in Matthew 6, 5 and 6, under it bold is 5. It means it comes from 5. When you pray, you ought not to be like the hypocrites, okay, who are, they're not praying sincerely. They're praying to glorify themselves. They're not glorifying God. They're looking to take the honor. And the second one is Jesus, again, is stating this. He mentioned the Matthew 6, 5, and then he says also in 6, 7, and 8, Jesus states, do not use meaningless repetition or many words. The caution back to the Lord's Prayer, is an example that we should use, and we can use the Lord's Prayer to pray effectively. But if you're just mumbling words, that's meaningless words, folks. It's ineffective prayer. You need to consider, what are you doing? Think about why Jesus gave the disciples that and what order he provided it in. Okay. Let's see, where are we at now? Okay, how to pray. Okay, of course, pray always. In Joshua 1 through chapter 1, 1 through 9, what's taking place here is that Moses has died, okay, and God has commissioned Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. And he tells Joshua, and I'll read this to you, he says, this book of the law shall not depart, and he's talking about the scripture, what they had then, the Torah in those days, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So what he's telling them is, use God's word and meditate on it day and night. Now, I realize that we all work. I've been reading a variety of books from Scripture. From our library. We have a good selection of books on prayer. I will tell you, though, it's down on the floor. So you're probably going to have to get on your knees, and I don't know if Margaret did that for a reason, okay? But you got to get on your knees to get those books. You're not going to find them up here somewhere, you know what I mean? So I had to work to get down there. So, but there's a good selection there. And one of the things that they did, what they called like mini or brief prayers, you know what I mean? Just a quick prayer, Lord, give me guidance, give me safety, you know what I'm saying? That you can do anywhere, folks, quick. You don't close your eyes when you're driving for prayer. You can do it with your eyes open. So it's a good thing to do. So pray always, okay? Pray according to God's will. And we know you hear a lot of times that we'll use Jesus' name in the name of Jesus. One of the things in James 4:15, and they talk about business. Anything that, for example, business activities, future planning, that we need to pray in God's will. I think one of the things that it offers for me is when I pray in God's will, it offers flexibility. That I'm flexible because, believe me, we're flexible this week, weren't we, Dan? Okay, this week was a very flexible week. And you have to be willing to adjust with the things that God needs you to do. And it's nice to have a plan, but be willing to change up the plan. So it's interesting. So look to pray according to God's will. All right. 1 John, let's see. It says, if we ask anything according to His will, okay, that's God's will, He hears us. I wrote my notes. It says, this should be an inspiration for all of us that do work for the Lord, or for all of us who are trying to glorify God through our work, that God, as you pray, God hears you, okay? It's nice to know how many times, I mean, I greeted Bo this morning, and I said to him, I says, well, no bother, no sense complaining, nobody listens anyhow. That's pretty true in the business world. Nobody really does listen, you know what I mean? All right, you said what you want to do, now go out and do your work. It didn't change anything. Read a lot of times Garda, is which is the security company. If you read the newspaper last week, 4 or 5 pages on Garda, and they're hauling millions of dollars around. They neglected their employees. They neglected what they were telling them. They didn't really want to hear them. They sent them right out there. We're in dangerous circumstances. They didn't want to hear them. God hears us. Now, we don't always get the answer we want. God does answer. One of the other things, we should pray in the Holy Spirit, and I want to look specifically Romans 8. So you're in James, flip over to Romans 8. I think it's important to use this one, Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts, that's God, who searches the hearts, knows that what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The saints, of course, that is the believers today. We don't have to wait for any canonization. We don't have to wait for any recognition. As you accept Jesus Christ, you actually become a scriptural saint. Not a denominational saint. You become a scriptural saint. Okay. So the next item is praying the Holy Spirit. So we should ask in faith and also for faith. Mark 9, I think most of you are familiar with this story. The Gospel of Mark tells the story of a father who wanted to have his son healed. He asked Jesus if he could help him, and Jesus said, basically, if you believe. And the father says to him, he says, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I think that's a good prayer for us when we're asking God for things, particularly if they're big ticket items. I would say a lot of things for healing for people. You know, ask God to help you in your unbelief. Help Him to help you in your unbelief, maybe if you don't understand the Scripture. Or if you don't understand what's going on in the world, not that we'll all know everything, but help ask God for the help to understand what is taking place. For time, I'm going to move a little quicker. Of course, we pray in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy 2:5 says that there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for a ransom for all, the testimony given at a proper time. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus paid the payment for everybody's sin on the cross. Not everybody accepts that. Once you accept that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you become a believer. Okay? It's really simple. It's not complicated. Based on that, you become part of Jesus' family, and we can ask in Jesus' name. I know name droppers, they used to call it at work, name droppers. You know, somebody knew somebody. And let me tell you, if you knew somebody that was powerful, you name dropped as much as you can to get your way. Oh, you know so-and-so. Oh, you know that person. Or, oh, he does that. You know what I'm saying? And you had, believe it or not, you got a whole lot more attention that way in our world. But God tells us he hears all of his believers. He hears all of his believers, and we should ask in Jesus' name. And oh, by the way, ask boldly. We're allowed to ask boldly. We should pray with a clear mind and self-control. 1 Peter 4:7, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Now, this actually was in reference to suffering that the Christians were undergoing. You today, as a Christian, may undergo suffering. In our changing world, as Christians, we may. Even if the world doesn't, you may experience that in the workplace. You may be honest, and your employer doesn't want you to be. So you may have moral values that others don't. You may not partake in after work hour meetings or events, and you may suffer consequences for that because, oh, well, we can't trust them. You know what I mean? They don't feel like you can be trusted. So you may suffer persecution as a Christian today. One more. Okay. Pray with a clear mind and self-control. So Peter's asking us is to use sound judgment. In other words, don't see it as an opportunity. Well, wait a minute, I'm missing as an opportunity. You're glorifying God. That's a better opportunity. I know it's easier. It's probably better for most of this congregation to say that. But when you're younger, people, sometimes they want to go with the flow. They want to be accepted versus stand up for what God wants them to do. It's a lot tougher. Last item is pray in agreement with other believers. And this is when they need comfort, okay? When they need God's comfort, they need encouragement, or they need help. Pray in agreement with other believers. Romans 12, 19 through 13 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, devoted in prayer. So we need, as Christians, we need to pray for other believers in agreement with them in what God's asking us to do.